Good morning, and welcome to our worship service this morning. It is good to see all of you here, and as always, it's good to be gathered together with a body of believers for our worship service. If there are any guests this morning, we do say a special welcome to you, and we're glad you're here with us this morning. I have just two announcements, and one is this afternoon there were two meetings scheduled. One is the music committee meeting. That is an organizational meeting, so if you are a part of that committee, that is at 4:30. And please make plans to attend that meeting this afternoon. For the youth committee meeting this afternoon, it has been canceled. There will be no youth committee meeting this afternoon. And those are the only two announcements I had this morning. Were there any other announcements from the congregation? Scott?
Just to let everybody know where we at, we'll start back around the 1st of August. So if you ever wanted to come or think about coming, pray about it and invite other people to come, other men to come, and we'll keep you posted and we'll get back on it. But we just, with the summer and all coming up, we decided to take a little break and get back on it in the fall. So thank everyone for participating and thank everyone for the prayers, because it's been a great thing for the men of this church and this community.
Thank you, Scott. Any other announcements this morning?
There'll be a general WMS next Sunday at 4:30.
Okay, a general WMS meeting next Sunday at 4:30. Okay, thank you, Ms. Betsy. Any other announcements? Any praises? Anything you'd like to share this morning? Okay. All right, just a reminder for the inserts in the bulletin for Vacation Bible School, June 7th through 12th. Tanya said that you could turn these in. Where do you want
them? Either put them in the offering plate or I'll stand up front.
Okay. You can either just put them in the offering plate this morning or just catch her after church and give it to her up front. All right? Let's open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for this day. We thank you for all your many blessings that you've given us as individuals and as a church. We thank you, Lord, for your provision, for watching over us and caring for us and bringing us back safely together this morning. And the opportunity we have to gather together and to worship freely, Lord, we thank you. I pray that you would prepare our hearts and our minds for this time, that you would make us open and receptive to your word this morning, and that you would use it to draw us closer to you and to make us better servants for you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Truly we serve a risen Savior, and that's why we can say this is the day the Lord has made, and we are rejoicing, we're glad in it. By the way, that was not the trump of the Lord sounding, and you did not miss the rapture, it didn't happen yet. Let's join together as we worship the Lord, and beginning with the call to worship, He is Lord, followed by hymn number 521, Redeemed, How I Love to Proclaim It. I'm sorry, yes, thank you, Lynn. Still the day the Lord has made. We're going to be extremely glad because Lynn and her little people are going to open a service together. Come on down, children, and bless our hearts. Thank you. We don't want to miss this wonderful spiritual treat for the boys, from the boys and girls.
Thank you.
special thank to Miss Lynn for working with these children. And I'll tell you something, they get to our age, they'll remember this. This is an important part of their worship also. Thank you, Lynn, and little people of our church. And now again, let us join together in the call to worship His Lord, followed by number 200 or 521, Redeemed. Let's stand together praising the Lord as we share in worship today. He is Lord. Together singing.
He
singing together.
A couple of updates on some prayer concerns that are in your bulletin. First, I want to reiterate and highlight Clay Coker, still in the hospital, not doing well. Certainly, the family has requested our prayers in his behalf. On the other side of the equation, Mr. Jim Rutter is, well, in his words from this morning, a phone call saying, "I'm waiting for the doctor to get in so that he'll release me and I can come home." That's at least his plan, but honestly, that was, if all went well, even going in,
that was a possibility. So he has done well, and there's no reason to think that he wouldn't have done well, because he was gathered around, bathed and clothed in prayer, and God answers and listens to the prayers of his people. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. So let's keep praying, because it absolutely makes a difference. Let's pray this morning. Lord, we thank you, and we just praise you, because this is a day that Lord, you knew we needed so much, a day to step out of all that is going on in our lives, sometimes all that's wrong, but Lord, to step out of all these things and simply put our attention squarely upon you. Because when we look at you and we look at life through the power of the cross, all of a sudden things begin to dim. Things that we thought were critically important all of a sudden aren't as important. And some things that we often overlook in our lives, we begin to realize how valuable those are. And so today we gather around Calvary to worship you and to allow you to continue to transform our lives into the image of your Son. For Lord, we know that heaven is indeed our destination, but our goal is to become more like Jesus today than we were like him yesterday. And Lord, even though sometimes we're afraid of a lot of different things, maybe some people are afraid of losing their money, some are afraid of losing their health, some are afraid of the spirit of hatred and terrorism in our world, but Lord, more than all else, maybe this morning, Lord, impress upon us that we ought to fear more than anything our own flesh and our own sin nature. Because, Lord, it is our sin that often keeps us from truly opening our lives to you, not only in worship, but in service. And our sin expresses itself in so many undesirable ways. And so this morning we come and we confess our sin before you. And Lord, as we do that, in the spirit of worship, we know that you're committed to forgive and to cleanse and to restore us. And Lord, to just shower your grace and love upon our lives today. And we do pray for our brothers and sisters, and so many of them are hurting today. Many of them are listed in the bulletin, but several are not. And they're hurting, and they're trying to find their way, and we're holding them up. Because that's part of what your scripture says to do. We hold each other up. We rejoice with each other, and we share in each other's sorrows. And so, Lord, we pray for those that we care about, and we ask for your grace to give them guidance. We pray, Lord, as a church, that you would bring us together in a spirit of unity and reconciliation, and that, Lord, that you would just be up front and that we might follow you. We pray for our missionaries. Lord, they've given up so much. They've gone to places, Lord, that we'll never be able to travel to. But, Lord, we can pray for them, and we can support them, and that's what we want to do today. So, Lord, we just want to be receptive to everything that you have in store for us, because, Lord, we know that all good and perfect gifts come from you, and they come from you as we open our lives. So help us to do that this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.
Just please come forward to receive our tithes and offerings. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your love and mercy and grace toward us. We thank you, Lord, for the assurance of salvation made possible through Jesus Christ. And we do pray this morning that if there be any here that do not know you as Savior and Lord, I pray that you would bring them to the point of repentance, that they would give you their heart and their life. We do thank you, Lord, for the many blessings you've given us. And as we give this portion back, we pray that you would take it, use it for the furtherance of your kingdom, use it for your honor, for your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Before Pastor comes and shares the message of the morning, we'll join together in singing number 508. We'll sing the wondrous story. And then just before he comes and shares the message, Drew and Ellie and Charlie Floyd will come and share a special. Pray for these young folks as they testify for the Lord in song. While singing this next hymn, 508, we'll dismiss our children and children's church workers for their place of worship for the remaining service. Join with me, family of God, as we join together. I will sing the wondrous story. Joining together, let us sing. Thank you, your Tresita Church. Girls, come and bless our heart in song at this time.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace. The Lord has promised good to me. His word, my hope, secures. He will my shield and portion be. As long as life endures, my chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace. The earth shall soon dissolve like snow. The sun forbid to shine. But God, who called me here below, will be forever mine. Will be forever mine. You are forever mine.
Matthew 28, verse 16. We'll start there. Matthew 28 and 16. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And then Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age." The question of all questions. Millions have asked it. Millions will probably ask it in the future. And at some point, it's probably been on our mind. Sometimes we can get busy, sometimes we can get preoccupied with a lot of things to the point that we forget about the question, at least for a little while, but sooner or later, there it is confronting us again. And the bottom, why are we here? What on earth are we here on this earth? Why do we exist? And the truth is, we can put all kinds of stuff and junk in there. We can believe all kinds of things about why we exist, and what we believe absolutely does make a huge difference. All right, but if you want the answer to the question that's going to bring you a sense of peace and tranquility and power that comes alive, then it's simply believing and accepting that God loves. That's it. God loves. loves each and every one of us, loves us so much that God has a particular plan for our lives. Now, we can waste that plan. We can reject the plan. We can do everything in our ability to walk away from it, but God has some plan and purpose for our lives, and when we embrace it and God's love and walk that plan, then that's where we're going to find the peace and the power that life has to offer us. So if you want your life to come together, then simply love God with all that you... There is nothing in the world left to love God within you, okay? When you love God that way. And when we do, what we find, of course, is that God loves us way more. Francis Chan called it crazy love. And I think I believe it, don't you? Why would he love us? Man, I know you guys. Why would he love you? I know me even more, and I know I don't understand why he loves me, but it's a crazy love, a love that defies reason and explanation, doesn't it? God loves us that much that he would give his son to die for us. So if you want to know why you exist, then that question is easy to answer. We exist to love God, to serve God, and follow God. But then why? If it's that easy, why do so many people find it so hard to embrace? Why was the AP headline this last Tuesday reading, America becomes less Christian, more secular? Why do so many people find that the cross, that greatest expression of God's love to us, why do they find it so uninteresting and uncompelling? But the questions I struggle with, even more than those, is why do we, even as Christians, find ourselves at times holding out on God instead of going all in for God? Why do we who profess to be Christ followers, Christ-like, like him, look like, why do we often look nothing like him at all? I mean, I know we want to be saved. We like the belonging part of the Great Commission, don't we? Go and baptize them. You know, they belong, they're family. You know, we like the fact that we're saved. We don't have to go to hell. But there's more, isn't there? This idea of living for him. Now, that's a little tougher sell, I believe. And somehow we get to thinking that somehow living for Jesus isn't the best way. We might not verbally say it's a bad thing, but deep in our heart somehow we must think it's a bad thing because we reject it and we don't want to do it. But the answer even to all of these questions, the questions that about Christianity, those that reject the cross, they're easy to answer as well this morning. And if we want some sort of big theological term in which to encase all of these questions and why we often reject God and his love, the theological term this morning is simply this: sin. That's it. Sin. It's real. It's destructive, and it's a powerful force. Sin, it divides. Sin, it kills. And I know that Satan is a powerful force, and he is a formidable enemy that stands before us, but I'll tell you this morning, I don't fear Satan as much as I fear my own selfishness and my own sin. Sin keeps me from God. Satan can't keep me from God. But unconfessed sin in my life, that keeps me from God. I fear sin this morning. Sin, doing things, saying things, hurting people, hurting myself, doing things even I know I shouldn't do them and I do them anyway. See, it's such a powerful force. But make no mistake about it either. It may be powerful, but it is not more powerful than Jesus Christ nor his power to forgive us our sins and to deliver us from our sins. We may not be able to answer all the questions that are out there, but we can answer these questions this morning. We know that when we come and we confess our sin before an almighty God, we know that he's going to forgive us and restore us and lift us up and provide a plan for our lives. Look, following Jesus is a good thing. Giving more room in our lives than we've ever given to him before, that's a good thing. Doing what Jesus said to do, that's a good thing. See, that's the way God created us. And I know these teachings of Jesus. You know, man, this is thousands of years old. Go make disciples. Do we really believe it? Do we really want to do it? I mean, it's years, thousands old. Why do we want to endure it? And yet, in these old, ancient words, all of a sudden, God becomes contemporary to us. And in these old words, God speaks freshness and new things in our lives. They may be old words, but they're powerful words if we simply dare to trust them. If we won't reject them, but embrace them. The truth is, when we really get into the Word of God and then let that Word transform us, then we are never the same. And these words bring meaning and purpose to our lives. Go make disciples, said Jesus, baptizing them and teaching them. See, we cannot love God if we do not love others. Jesus said that he came to seek and to save the lost. And he said, as the Father has sent me, so am I now sending you. Go make disciples. Tell them how much that I love them. Show them my love by loving each other. Tell them about me and what I have done for you and the way that I've brought your life together. Again, the first part, the baptizing, the belonging part, we like that. And it's so good because life does jump up and smack us in the face sometimes. And isn't it great to know that we are surrounded by our brothers and sisters in Christ, that when we can't hold ourselves up, they've got us propped up under on their strong shoulders. See, that's belonging, and that's good, and that's powerful. And that's something that people that don't know Christ, they don't have. But then Jesus also went on and said, teach them. Teach them. Why? Because we do not magically become disciples of Jesus. Teach them about me. Why? Because there's a lot of things that try to mold and shape our lives today. Culture is trying to shape our lives. Culture is telling us some things are okay and we shouldn't worry about it. All right? It's out there. It's telling us that. You just read the headlines. Sometimes traditions shape our lives. This is the way that we've always done them, and we're not going to ever change, but this is who we are. Sometimes our feelings shape our lives. Oh, this just feels right to me. But here's the problem. These things are not always right. Culture sometimes gets it wrong. Culture does not always depend upon the living and active Word of God to tell them what's right and what is not right. All right? Sometimes even our own traditions can begin to stand in the way. I mean, that's one of the condemnations that Jesus gave to the church of his day, the synagogue. He said, you've let traditions take over and replace the Word of God. But what is always right is simply standing upon the Word of God. What amazes me that we have so many Bibles, and yet there are so many spiritually malnutritioned Christians today. Look, to know what life is supposed to be, to find the victory that is ours. Victory, folks, the good stuff. To overcome evil with good, to stand when the trials try to knock us down. To find God's truth and purposes, we must stand on the Word of God and let that Word of God deep into our hearts. And a major part of making disciples is simply passing on the truths of Christ that we have found out. Teach them, said Jesus. Teach them. It's not always individual, is it? No, many times, many people have helped shape our lives today. I mean, Paul told the Corinthians, I love the line, he said, what I received, what I found true, these things I found out about myself and about the things that I have received, I have passed on to you. And that's the way of faith. And I know that some people are gifted teachers. I mean, I just love a person that truly has the gift of teaching, and they very formally get up and they can get it done. And I love watching them. But the truth is, we are all teachers today. By what we do, what we say, the way that we act, all these things are teaching people about us and about what we really believe. Living for Jesus and becoming more like him, see, is a journey, and it's often filled with ups and downs and sideways. There'll be times of joy and times of suffering. Now, we have the assurance, by the way, that Jesus said, I am always with you until the end of the age. But the truth is, we come and we let the Word of God begin to prop us up. And we all need instruction. One of the Proverbs simply says, don't lean on your own understanding. See, because it gets messed up. But together as family, brothers and sisters in Christ that love each other, see, we grow closer to God and all of a sudden we become more like Jesus. I mean, it's good to say, if somebody makes a decision for Christ, to go up to them and say, okay, here's the Bible, read it every day and pray every day. That's absolutely a good thing to do. But it's not enough. No, we must gather around and together dig deep into the Word of God. The truth is, it is only because of the fact that each of us have limited experiences that we need each other to find the wholeness of our faith. Teach them, said Jesus, teach them. It's like the Ethiopians, the story of the Ethiopian eunuch in the 8th chapter of Acts, for those of you that remember. He'd been to Jerusalem, he'd gone to the temple. And he's on his way back to Ethiopia, and he's got his chariot stopped along the road, and he's reading from Isaiah the prophet. And he doesn't understand everything that he's reading. And so God sent Philip to help him. In fact, it says that Philip ran up to the chariot, and he heard the man reading from Isaiah the prophet, and Philip asked him, do you understand what you're reading? And his response was, how can I unless someone explain it to me? Teach them, said Jesus. Explain to them what I have revealed to you. Now, sometimes we're the Ethiopian and we don't understand, and somebody comes and helps us, and sometimes we're Philip. But the process is simple. We learn more about Jesus and faith and living, and the more that we learn about him, the more we pass it on to each other. See, that's the way it's supposed to be. And people will listen to what we have to say, well, when we speak with conviction, I do. When people look me in the eye and I know that they know what they're talking about, then I pay attention to what they're saying. Not just their words. Boy, it's just so great to be a Christian. I just love it. But you get somebody that is full of Jesus. I mean full of Jesus. They don't even have to say anything, and you know you want to pay attention to what they're getting ready that's coming out of their mouth, okay? Because they are living it. And as we live it, then we're able to share it. Sometimes I think we get caught up in wanting a reading list. And I, you know, scores of books read over the years. But I read a line once from a man by the name of Andrew Fraser, a theologian from Ireland. And basically what he said was, you will never get everything that you need to get from any other book except this book, he said. This book laid open in front of you while you're down on your knees praying that God might speak to you through these words. That's where the deep riches of the Word of God come alive. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't read other books. But what I'm saying is this one takes preeminence and priority over everything else. And when we prayerfully approach the Word of God, God will speak to us every time. See, it's one thing for us to say, man, I love Philippians 4:19. And by the way, I do. That my God shall supply all of your need. And it's good to be able to quote that to somebody, but it's even better to say, and here's the way God did it in my life. And they'll pay attention to that. There's a very scary verse in 2 Peter. It says, if they have escaped the corruption of the world by knowing our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and again are entangled in the world and overcome, they're worse off at the end than they were at the beginning. See, those are scary words to me because I got really close at one point in my life. I don't talk much about it because I don't like to think about it. But I had drifted away a long way, and I was getting close to truly walking away from faith in my Savior. And I got to tell you, it was a scary place to be. And every time I come to those words, it almost makes me my knees knock to realize that people can do it. And when they do it, that it is crossing over a line that they can't uncross. And it's a scary moment. But what I will tell you is simply this. No matter where you are, if you have not walked away from Christ, all you have to do is then open your heart back to Him and you'll find that crazy, white-hot love of God ready to encompass your life again. That's good stuff and that's powerful stuff. All right? Look, there's no substitute. No substitute for spending time with Jesus. The more time that we spend with Him, the more time that people will recognize His presence in our life. Howard Hendricks, a pastor in Dallas and for a while was chaplain of the Dallas Cowboys, he told a story once about how that in the church they were looking for a teacher for the junior high boys class, and they really just were almost completely out of options, and somebody came to him and said, well, what about so-and-so, a young man in the church? And they said, well, let's pray about it. It just didn't seem to be a right fit. It really didn't. There were all kinds of reasons why it might not be a good idea to put him in the class. And yet when they came back, look, we just don't have any other options, and let's give it a try. And in less than 6 months, that class was totally revolutionized. Whatever that teacher was doing, he ought to bottle it, right? Because, you know, everybody needed to do what he was doing. And so finally, Pastor Hendricks called and said, let's have lunch. Because he had to find out what was going on. And so they're talking, and finally he just says, you know, we had some reservations, and we weren't sure, but man, what you've got it going on. What are you doing in that class? And the man pulled out of his pocket a little black book, and each page had a picture of one of the little boys in his class. And some things written. One of them was, comes to church, but his parents doesn't. Another one has trouble with math. Another one said, thinks he'd like to be a missionary, but doesn't think he could ever have what it takes. And he said, what I do is every day, he said, at some point during the day, I open up that book, I get on my knees, and I begin to pray that God will speak and work in their lives. And he said, I can't wait to get here on Sunday to see what God's done. When we begin to share ourselves with each other, the most profound teaching begins to take place. When we care, God will use us. Teach them, said Jesus, teach them to obey everything that I have commanded you. Pass along what you found to be true. I mean, getting together and talking about struggles of life without Christ, without the Word, is a support group. And there's nothing necessarily wrong with a support group, except it's never going to be enough. What we need is to gather around and let God speak to our circumstance and need. You've heard some of these analogies before. The Bible's like a well that never runs dry. It doesn't matter how much you take out of it, it's always got more in it. Or maybe it's like a mine that you can never mine out. You know, the deeper you go into the mine, the better the vein of ore becomes. Truth is, it's through the Bible that we experience God and we learn really important things. We learn that God is all-powerful and just, and that God is a loving God. We learn that Jesus, who had no sin, became sin for us that we might be able to put on His righteousness and enter into a relationship with God. When we get into the Word, we find that the Holy Spirit convicts the world of sin, opens our eyes to our desperate need of God. And then when we embrace Jesus, when we come to Calvary and kneel there and ask Him to come into our lives, we are told that the Holy Spirit then empowers us, lives within us, and helps us live out our faith. Teach them, said Jesus. Go, make disciples, baptize them, teach them. And we need to go, and we need to go deep, and we need to go often. But too many Christians are hunt and poke Christians. John Huffman tells the story about he who had been raised in church but really hadn't applied himself much. He knew he ought to read the Bible, just never did. He went to some classes over the years, Sunday school, and occasionally Wednesday night, but he never really got into the Word. And he said he was going through a really tough time, and he knew, he'd been around enough to know, hey, I really need to know what the Lord wants me to do, but he didn't know how to find it. And so he did what a lot, I'm just going to plop my Bible down, he said, and I'm going to put my finger on a verse, and whatever that verse says, that must be what God wants me to do. And he said, I plopped my Bible down and put my finger out down, and I read the verse, and it said, and Judas went out and hanged himself. He thought, you know, I don't think that's what the Lord really wants. So he said, I'm going to have to try this again. So he grabs his Bible up, he flops it down, he puts his finger on a verse, and it says, what thou doest, do it quickly. All right, that's not the way to find out what God wants you to know. A as you open this word on a daily basis and begin to read. And there is no substitute, folks. You can listen to sermons till you go deaf. You can play Christian music on the radio and sing to the top of your voice. But there is absolutely no substitute for you getting on your knees and getting into the Word. Because in here, God has some really neat things to tell you. In here. Not just a bunch of old stories that sound too good to be true. Man, I'm glad that Jesus calmed the storm on the Sea of Galilee, but I'm a whole lot more happy today that Jesus has calmed the storms on the Sea of Rodney more than once. And I know that he'll do it again. Paul said, what I've received, what I found to be true, I'm passing it on to you. Jesus said, teach them. And the neat thing about it is the more we try to help others, the more we grow ourselves. But it's all about a choice. Some people simply say, I'm just simply too busy to read the Bible or spend time thinking about it. That is a choice. Some people think, I just don't have time to talk to others about what God has revealed to me, and that too is a choice. Some people have decided that listening to Jesus is not as good as listening to Satan, and that too is a choice. Some people have decided that digging in and letting God conform them into the image of Christ, that that's not necessarily a good thing, and that is a choice. Others have decided that letting God work in their lives and lead them to talk to others is what they are supposed to do, and that too is a choice. What I'm saying is we all have choices to make. To be obedient or disobedient, that is a choice that we have to make. Jesus said, teach them. Why? Because we all need help. Look, someone helped you come to faith. And someone has shared many, many things with you over the years in order for you to be where you are today. And now God is simply asking you to share with others what he has done in your heart and life. But it's a choice. People have to make a choice today. Why am I here? Well, you're supposed to love God. And if you love God, you'll find that God loves you even more. It's a choice. And the choice is before you this morning. I don't know where your hearts are. You know where your hearts are. And God knows where it is. And if the Holy Spirit is convicting this morning, don't run away from conviction or don't get mad at God at conviction. But understand that's a good thing because it's simply God saying that there's something more that God has for you. And if you just come and open your life to him at an altar or out, you can kneel where you're sitting right now. It doesn't matter. If you'll open your heart to Jesus, he'll come. It's a choice. And then it becomes a choice. Will we give ourselves to Christ so that he can use us to touch others? May God, through his Spirit, help us make right choices right now. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for, Lord, even the challenges of your word. Because, Lord, you do not leave us defenseless or powerless. And you have placed before us today choices. Choices about our relationship with you. Choices about our decision to truly let you use us to touch others. In this moment, Lord, may we choose to listen to the voice of your Spirit speak to us. In Christ's name, amen. Please stand as we sing together and make our choices.
Let us turn together to hymn number 297. I love to tell the story. And if there's a need in your heart of some area of choice making, we invite you to an altar of prayer. And just between you and the Lord, make that proper choice. If you need Christ as Savior, do not leave today without coming to the altar of prayer and seeking us out to help you pray that sinner's prayer. Number 297. May it truly be a heart throb that we love to tell the story.
And the grace of God will always rule the day. We might not understand how, but it always does. God's grace is the difference maker. Dr. Blake.
Liz, I can face tomorrow.